Congregation, young people, we live in a visible world, right? You can see things. If you have eyes, you can see the mountains and the sun and the flowers and the grass getting greener. You see things. That's reality. But there's also an invisible world. Like God is a spirit. We don't see him. He is everywhere, omnipresent. Do we see that? No, we don't see it, but do we realize it? God's presence everywhere. And not only God, there are also angels. Still angels. We don't see them, but if we could see them, we would be aware of that, right? The invisible world is reality, that there are angels sent out to protect. And there are also devils. There's Satan, the head of the devils, and so many of his cohorts, so many of his helpers. We don't see them, and that's why we often deny them and don't count that they are active. But they are. And Satan is not only attacking young people and the unconverted ones, but also God's people. That's absolute reality. And that's what we see again also in Scripture this morning. Luke 22, the verses 31 through 33. 31 through 33 of Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. So far, Satan wants Peter to deny Christ. Satan wants Peter to deny Christ. Satan's desire and sifting. Verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have thee, that he may sift you as the wheat. Secondly, Christ's prayer and purpose. I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail, and the purpose, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter's reply and denial. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So Satan wants Peter to deny Christ. Satan's desire and sifting, Christ's prayer and purpose, Peter's reply and denial. With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See the Lord Jesus sitting at the table? He was expressing his desire to eat the Passover with his disciples. He loves them. He's faithful to them. He's their Savior. He's going to shed his blood for them. What a love. And he took bread and gave thanks, break it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. So personal. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So they had a very special time at the table that evening with the Lord Jesus. Or he also said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, and they will be on thrones, and be part of that kingdom. Very, very special time at the Lord's Supper table together. And one of the table talks is our text. Suddenly the Lord Jesus turns to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. Simon, Simon, why not Peter? Why does he say Peter, Peter? Why Simon, Simon? Why that old name, that old Hebrew name? Well, the Lord Jesus probably wants to remind him of something. Peter, you're special. You're kind of the leader. But you have to keep in mind you're still also the old man. You still have to realize that you have flesh and that you're vulnerable and that you are not so strong as you think you are. So the Lord is reminding him that he is still, in a sense, Simon. And he repeats it, keep this in mind, you are Simon. You are only Simon. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. There was love in there and concern in there and warning him. If he could have heard the tone of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, very special, Simon, Simon, behold, keep in mind, pay attention to this. Don't forget this. I would like to point out to you something you should not forget. Behold. So also unto us this morning hour, the Lord mentioning our name, our old name maybe, reminding God's people also of who they still are, and then saying, behold, you have to pay attention to this this morning. Behold. Satan. Satan. Sometimes you read about Satan, sometimes you read about the devil. What does that mean, Satan? Satan is Hebrew and means to oppose, to strongly disagree, to ruin things, to put things upside down, to break things, to make a mess of it. That is what Satan means. Satan is to resist. So there is a reality, an invisible reality of Satan resisting God, opposing God, trying to ruin the church, trying to kill God's people, trying to confuse young people. He is reality, and he just makes it difficult for people. And also for the Lord's people, as we see. Simon, Simon, Satan is reality. Those principalities, those powers in the church, personally on the mission field, he's going everywhere after God's people. He's hunting people, trying to devour them, the Bible says, like a roaring lion lurking and stalking. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired. I had to study that. Had desired. It means something else than I thought it would mean. Always new things. Desire. What do you think it means? Well, you would say Satan has a longing. Satan has a hope. Satan has an anticipation, has a love. I would love this and that to happen. He has a desire to ruin the church. Right? But you know, desire sometimes, even in English, has a different meaning. Or a slightly different meaning, a stronger meaning. You know, when Revenue Canada writes you a letter, and desires $1,000. They're asking for some money. You know this is serious. You can't get out of it anymore. You have to pay. They demand it. They really desire it. There's no way out. That's the word. So Satan has desired to have me. He is strong in that. And don't underestimate him. He does not only desire, he demands. He's demanding of whom? He's demanding from God. Is that new? Satan saying to God, I demand, Peter, I demand to do this. I insist this, O God. Give me permission. I want permission to go after the Apostle Peter. That's what it means. So he does not only desire, but he demands. Don't you think now of Job? And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Have you seen him? And Satan said, Does Job fear God for naught? No wonder. But has made a hedge about him, protecting him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. No wonder. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all he has, and he will curse thee to the face. So he was demanding. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That's reality. So Satan was after Job, as Satan is after the Apostle Peter. And he is asking permission. He asked. Satan has asked to have you. Satan has demanded to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. So Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. You? I thought this was King James. Yes. Why doesn't it say thou? Why all so many times thou and thee, and why you here? Has desired to have you. Well, you in King James is always plural. That means not only you personally, but all the other disciples. He has desired to have you men. Satan is after the entire church, after the whole world, but especially after office bearers, and in this case after the disciples, but you is at least the disciples of the Lord Jesus. To have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. You know, think of the farm communities those days, and they were also growing wheat, and they had no combines. So with a sickle they cut the wheat, brought it all to the threshing floor, had oxen treading it or people using special equipments, the special tools to separate the chaff from the grain, from the kernels. And then they had to, it was a mix of chaff and straw and kernels, and then they used sieves. And it was a mesh in those sieves so that the kernels, the seeds, could not fall through. And you should have seen that. Then they just shake that sieve up and down, you see, and you hear all those kernels dancing. If the grain could scream, it would say, "Oh, not so fast, not so hard, I fall through." And so Satan is willing to sift God's people as the wheat, to let them dance, to make trouble, to shake them violently, so they fear in the hope they will fall through and fall off and perish. That's Satan. And what is his purpose? Well, he wants that faith to fail. He wants especially that faith of the Apostle Peter and the disciples to stop. He doesn't talk about other things, that thy faith will not fail. So Satan wants that faith to fail, so that the faith is out the window, so there's no faith anymore. There's no trust anymore. No assurance anymore. I don't know it anymore. I'm confused now. That faith will just disappear. That the Bible closes. That I can't pray anymore. God is not real anymore. That's what he likes. That God is not reality any longer. Well, he tried it. He wants to spoil it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat God's people, devour God's people, murder them. That's his purpose. So that's why God's children have times, like the Apostle Peter, they're attacked. And then it feels like as if life is taken away from you. Your spiritual life, gone. Feels like I can't love anymore. Feels like there's no sweetness in the Bible. It's so boring right now. There's no humility, no preciousness, no desire. There's enmity. That's what he likes, and then he likes to push it a little further. That faith will fail. You know, that is not only in this text. That is throughout the whole Bible. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And he knows the vulnerabilities. He knows the weak spot of young people, of unconverted ones, of his people. He knows the weak spots, the pride, the hunger for attention, the love, the greed, the love for life, the tendency to fall asleep. He knows how to get God's people down. Let me give you a few examples. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's also the involvement of Satan, leaving the first love. The Lord does not say that first love leaves, but you leave it. You leave. God's child gets rebuked. Thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Or think of this, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See? That's also God's children should consider. Satan's desire and sifting. Let's go to the second thought. But what a precious word, but, in contrast to this, but, I have prayed for thee. Thee, personally, Peter, not plural, for thee. For I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Christ's prayer and purpose. You know, if the Lord Jesus would not pray for his people, they would lose their faith. I guarantee. Because that's how God's people are. They are still Simon, Simon. They're still that old flesh, and Satan is powerful and cunning, and he knows the weak spots, and he knows how to ruin them and how to break it all apart. And give disagreements and stress. He knows how to do that. But he has prayed. And you should read John 17 today. That's a long prayer of the Lord Jesus for the church. John 17. Let me quote a few verses from that and also from John 10. With this purpose, to show you what the Lord Jesus exactly prays. What does he pray for, and for whom does he pray? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's the Lord Jesus speaking in John 10. They will never perish. You think it's lost. You think it's over. You think it was a mistake. You think it was deceit. They will not perish, because I've received them from my Father. He has given them unto me. You can't take them out of God's hand. You cannot take them out of my hand. We are one. The Father and me are one. You know, this is precious. And good to hear, because God's children, not only once in life, but many, many, many more times in this lifetime, they are confronted with their own weaknesses. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. O, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. And I like the especially 17, John 17, verse 24. Father, I demand that they also whom thou hast given me be with me there I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus is the high priest. He offers incense to his Father, right? That's the example. He knows his people. He has complete empathy with them. He warns them. He gives Satan permission. The Father gives Satan permission to taunt and to tease and to make life difficult for them. But I prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. It will not. So the Lord Jesus is saying to the Apostle Peter beforehand, your faith will be challenged. You will have little of it left. You will have a hard time, but you will still keep it. I protect it. I keep it alive. It will not fail. It would feel like you have lost it. It will not fail. It is only temporary. Temporary. Satan desired to have you, to sift you as the wheat, but I pray for you that your faith will not fail. So temporarily, it's a little faith. Temporarily, there are so many doubts and questions and uproar inside. It's only for a time. I'm coming back. Your faith will not fail. I come back. I hold it. I keep it in my own hands. You won't perish, Peter. And when thou art converted. What? He is converted. He needs to be converted again and again. So the Lord converts his people not only once, but constantly. And they leave and he converts them again and let them turn again. You can also translate turn. I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail, and then thou hast turned. Thou hast come back. See that, you know, sometimes God's children think that one conversion is enough. And that's true in a sense. Because once converted is always converted. But in the experience, God's children need to be converted again. And when they're converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's the purpose. What's the purpose? Why did the Lord let this happen to Job? And why, more particular, why did the Lord let this happen to the Apostle Peter? What's the purpose? You know, that Apostle Peter who said, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? He walked on the water, right? He left everything behind. He was not a wimp. He was a strong man. He was a leader in the church. But you know, he underestimated Satan. And he overestimated himself. And he had to learn a lesson. That was the purpose. To bring him down. To make him humble. To make him not so cocky. Because he was sometimes harder than others as well, I suppose. And the Lord wanted him to sing in lower tones. But not only for himself. It was also important for his work. So he could strengthen his brethren. He could strengthen the church. He could understand the little ones and the striving ones and the doubting ones better. Because otherwise he would not have been able to understand them. Now he can come alongside and listen and empathize and say, I can see that. I have been there myself. I completely understand. So he can preach experientially. So he can do pastoral work. So he can comfort the people. To strengthen the brethren. Because the brethren, God's children, need to be strengthened. And that word strengthened is often translated as established. And established. Because God's church can be so weak and they need to be made stronger. And that's helpful. So let me quote you a few things about establishing the church, about making the church stronger, strengthening them. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, ye may be established. To encourage God's people. To help them stand up again. Because sometimes they just lay down and they can't get up. To strengthen them. To come alongside and be on your knees and say, can I help you up? To strengthen, to the end, he may be established. And how does the apostle do that? How do you strengthen people? Well, by speaking well of God. By speaking well of the Lord Jesus. By explaining his faithfulness. By explaining this is not a new thing. It's not only you experiencing this. This is common. And to explain the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the price and that nobody can pluck them out of his hands. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. See that? The power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ is not only important for them that are standing afar off and them doubting, unconverted ones doubting, but also God's people themselves, they can have difficult times like Job had when everything seems to turn against them. Also in this life, also outwardly, also in the visible world. And sent Timothy, our brother, a minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. See that? So the apostle sent Timothy, his brother, minister, fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you. In what sense? Concerning your faith. So when God's children are down and weak and have no strength, it is necessary that they are established and that they have some people strengthening the brethren. And that's something happening from the pulpit, happening in house visitation, but also happening in the congregation. That the members of the congregation talk to one another, strengthen thy brethren. So for the Apostle Paul, he had to be brought down to make him able to strengthen the brethren. See, that's the Lord's purpose. I see the same thing in Psalm 51. Remember David and his awful sins? Psalm 15, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So David can say, if I can be saved, then you can be saved. And so the Apostle Peter can say, if I can be saved, the Lord is faithful to me, he will be faithful to his entire church to come alongside. So, to humble, to be able to comfort, to make him understanding, to show the Lord's faithfulness, to show the Lord's grace, to show the Lord's power, that he cannot lose his church. But you know, the Lord Jesus says that he prays. That does not mean that we shouldn't. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So also we need to continue in prayer. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Satan's desire and sifting, Christ's prayer and purpose. Now Peter's reply and denial. So what do you think? What was Peter's response? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. He wants to sift you as the wheat. I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Would you stand there shy and say, oh, I realized that I was in so much danger. But no, his response is different. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go with thee. Peter, Simon, just calm down. Who do you think you are? You overestimate yourself and underestimate Satan. Don't say that so easily. I am ready. Be careful with that. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to go to the mission field. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to catechize. I'm ready to be an elder. I'm ready to be a Christian. I'm prepared. You're not. Nobody is. So Peter was not in the right place. And he said, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Even if I would be incarcerated and end up in a jail, I would be in a dirty dungeon for years, I would take it. I won't care. I won't deny the master for anything. Even not if they would put a knife on my throat and say, you deny him, otherwise we kill you. I would not deny him, even if I had to die. They can kill me. They can kill me. I won't do this. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. See, that's often God's people, especially the younger ones. Especially the beginners. They like calves in springtime. You let them in the pasture and they jump the fence. They don't realize who they are. They overestimate themselves, ready to go with it, really. And the Lord Jesus, listening to this, he knew this. He knew what his response would be. And he said also in the context, verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, he says, Peter now, I'm not sure why, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You will deny me. You will deny me three times. It happened. It happened three times. I don't know him. No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. Although his dialect revealed it. He was from Galilee. Although some people recognized him. No, I'm not. I don't know the man. And then the cock crew. And came back. And he walked out. And he wept. Bitterly. Why did he leave? Someone looked at him, right? One of the Gospels said he looked at him. Those eyes of the Lord Jesus looked straight at the apostle and he looked his way. The locked eye. What did those eyes of Jesus say? You tell me. I'm angry with you. Really? Is that what the Lord Jesus looked like? Is that what he expressed? I'm so disappointed. Is that what he expressed with his eyes? Rebuke? Or did he express deep sadness in looking at him? Or is it that he looked at him in Peter, remember? Remember? I told you, I pray for you. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Is that why he wept so bitterly? Because the Lord Jesus looked so friendly, looked so faithful, reminded him. Not, there may have been sadness and disappointment mixed in it, but especially the Lord Jesus with that look expressed his faithfulness and his love for that fallen creature. Because the Lord Jesus had paid the price, was going to pay the price, rather, was going to give his blood. So he denied. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. See, congregation, young people. I read about cougars this week. And cougars have a special sense, like many of those prey animals. So they always feel and see who is the most vulnerable, the smallest deer, the injured ones, the younger ones. Yes, they go after them. They have a sense for the vulnerabilities of their prey. And Satan does too. Satan also goes after the injured ones, and the weak ones, and the young ones. Because he knows that. But he also knows when God's people are not on their guard. He just watches them. He is going about around them, looking who may devour, to see a chance to just get in there and to attack. And yet, although he is smart and cunning, the Lord Jesus continues in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he prays for his people, and he understands them. He really does. God's children are understood by the Lord himself, and he keeps praying for them. And the Lord Jesus tempted himself, but he did not sin, without sin. And that's why there's future for the church. Not because we are so strong, not because pastors and elders and missionaries and deacons can do the work, but the Lord Jesus is faithful to his own work. Because he received the church from the Father, and nobody will pluck them out of his hand. Amen. Lord, may we thank thee for thy word, honest and loving. O Lord, we beseech thee, give the application of it, and also remember those in the talons of Satan, feeling so stuck. Lord, deliver them again. Give conversion to thy people again, and show them thy salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He conquered Satan. And although Satan is defeated, we may not underestimate him, but Lord, thou art stronger than he is. Be mindful of us the rest of this day. Bring us safely back home and back to thy house again. In Jesus' name, amen.